The following message was recorded at Geneva Presbyterian Church in Canton, Michigan, on Sunday, December 11, 2011, at the 11 o'clock service. The scripture lesson was Luke 1, verses 46 through 55. The sermon was delivered by Lindsay Anderson, and the title of the message was Mothers of God.
Let's begin with prayer. Holy Spirit, come to each of us now. Be present in the speaking and the hearing of the word this morning. Whisper your promises in our ears, prod us with your challenges, and plant the dreams of your kingdom deep in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. This morning's Bible passage is part of a familiar story at Christmas time. But I invite you to listen with new ears to hear what God might be speaking to you this day. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who is said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, I don't know about you, but this week really kicked my butt, if you'll excuse my crass expression. After attending a funeral on Monday, some discouraging conversation with coworkers, a particularly difficult interaction with a weeping stranger outside the grocery store, and news from three different friends of their own losses, I was done with this week. I submit this lament knowing that several others have commiserated with having a bad week. And in fact, I am especially aware that many others around the world, and even in my own neighborhood, have suffered this week in ways that I know little about. So when I prepared for this morning, it wasn't joy that was on my mind. It was a classic Bible passage that we use in Advent season that kept coming to mind. One where the prophet Isaiah cries out to God, "Lord, that you would rend the heavens and come down." And I have found that sense of longing rising up in me again and again these past days. But it's a timely sentiment for the season of Advent. This is the time when we prepare for the hope of coming redemption. We remember how very long God's people waited for the Messiah to come, and we remember that not unlike them, we again are waiting for love to return and finish the work of redeeming the world. And there is some part about that waiting, some part about that Advent hoping, that makes us see the world as it truly is, recognize the truth of this place that we live, recognize that it's kind of messed up, that things have really gone wrong here. We recognize in Advent that this world is a hard place in which to wait for the return of the Lord. I once heard a pastor say, Advent begins with a great cry of disappointment, that we stand broken hearts in our hands amidst the brokenness of our world, and in the faithful tradition of the psalmist, we cry out to God. That is how I felt this week. Come, Lord Jesus, to use our liturgical language. Come back down here. Our gospel reading this morning starts in a similar place of struggle, with a similar sense of trouble. I've realized that because I know the joyful end of this story, it's easy for me to overlook the slightly cloudier beginning. But let's look back at the passage. It says, "The angel came to Mary and said, 'Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was much perplexed." Some translations say deeply troubled, and wondered what sort of greeting this might be. This Christmas story starts with an air of confusion, suspicion, a bit of shock, and Mary's own struggle to understand what she is part of. "How can this be?" she says to the angel. "How can this be? For I am a virgin." Now, after questioning, Mary does courageously agree to her part in God's plan. But we should not confuse her agreement here for the resolution of her struggle. Rather, as my sisters who have delivered children into this world can attest, I'm sure this was only the big beginning of Mary's laboring. But from there, we can take it back even one step further and say that this encounter probably wasn't the beginning of the cloudiness or the struggle in Mary's story. By the time the angel comes to Mary, she is a teenager. She has lived her whole life under Roman occupation, her whole life in a place where her culture and religion is scorned. Her church leaders and local politicians are corrupt, and the government restricts and oppresses her people economically, politically, even physically. You don't have to be an adult to experience injustice, and you don't have to live very long on this earth to yearn for God to change the world. As a side note, every year this story reminds me about the power of our young people and their crucial importance in God's plan to make the world new. So this young person, Mary, she would have grown up hearing the writings of the prophets, the Holy Scripture, listening to the collective longing and long waiting of her people for the coming hope of a Messiah. I might propose that the act of birthing was begun even before the angel visited Mary, that God was laboring toward the birth of love into this world long before that moment. And I will say to you today that God still labors with us modern day Marys, men and women, so that the love and grace that came as our brother Christ might be born in us each day. Let me say it to you another way, borrowing the words of Meister Eckhart, one of our fathers in faith, a Christian writer from the 13th century. He said, "We are all meant to be mothers of God." What good is it to me if this eternal birth of the divine Son takes place unceasingly, but does not take place within myself? And what good is it to me if Mary is full of grace, if I am not also full of grace? What good is it to me for the Creator to give birth to his Son, if I do not also give birth to him in my time and my culture? This, then, is the fullness of time, when the Son of Man is begotten in us. I believe that Meister Eckhart is saying that Christ is born in us, not physically as with Mary, but spiritually, when we allow the characteristics of Christ to be developed in us, and when we live them out in our daily lives. So, in our moments of brokenness, in our pain and sorrow, in the weeks when we are just done, in those times when we look around this world and say to God, "Where are you?" Let us remember, with the writer of the book of Romans, that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Let us remember that these are the birth pains of redemption, of daily grace, and of saving love that God gives us to bear into every part of this world. And the good news of our faith, the news that we hold tightly during the labor pains, that we remember in the seemingly endless waiting, is that the labor does not last forever. In due time, God delivers. God delivered through Mary, love in flesh, to this world. And God delivers through us creativity and renewal, hope, into this world. And last but not least, God delivers us in this world. As we are formed and reformed, made new and born again over and over in the image of love. So I ask you, as we look around at our struggle, at our broken world, in this season of laboring, what does God want to be born in you? As Brian mentioned, I work for an organization called Lutheran Volunteer Corps. And my job is to supervise volunteers who commit a year of their life to service work and intentional community in our urban areas. I am finding that one of the greatest privileges of my job is to be present as something new is born in the volunteers. In their 12 months here, we journey together. We journey through the labor pains of heartbreak for those they serve, and through the contractions of anger at the injustice that they encounter, and in the deep breathing that is necessary as we reimagine our role in the scheme of things here. Through this labor, through these moments, come the blessed birth of hope into our world. What is being born in my volunteers through this journey? We have yet to see. But perhaps an understanding will be born. An understanding that will bless those that they next encounter. Perhaps a song will be born for perseverance in the work ahead. Perhaps an identity will be born that will be their place of strength in the future. Or perhaps a holy dream will be born in them for what they might next build. What a blessing that we, as community, are invited to midwife for each other, to be present in this birthing, to strengthen and encourage, to wipe the sweat from one another's brows, and to see the grace that God delivers into this world through each of us. So again, I ask you, In this season of laboring, what does God want to be born in you? In closing, I will leave you with the good news and with a prayer for when the good news is not so easy to remember. The good news of our story today is that God brought into the world a love that could save us. That God promised to put the world back together and to reconcile everything back to God's self. But the good news is also that God chose us, frail, broken, vulnerable humans like Mary, like me, and like you, to bear these things into being. The poet Jan Richardson writes this as a prayer directly from Mary, but I would suggest that it can be all of our prayer today. I did not seek this birthing, but you have drawn me into the passage, and now I am the one who is bearing, and I am the one being born. So in my longing, yearning, breaking, gasping, groaning, laboring, bearing, birthing, I am asking, O God, my midwife, deliver me. So may it be for you and for me. Amen.
We hope that you enjoyed this message. If you have questions or would like to know more about Geneva Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at genevachurch.org or call the church office at 734-459-0013.